Okay, here's my opening statement. Do you qualify for a Savior? Last week we talked about Jesus being our Savior and how we need Him every hour. The songs were perfect, and today the same way. Do you qualify for a Savior? Isaiah 43:11 says this, I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. There is no Savior. I appreciate people when they are in places of leadership and they take their place and they rise up and they're courageous, but also when they stay humble enough to say, I will lead, I'm going for this, but I'm not your Savior. Whether it's a pastor or whatever, and I'll give Trump credit for this. He says, the world and the United States need a Savior, and I'm not that Savior. And there is no other Savior other than Jesus. In Psalms 106, it says this, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. To qualify to have a Savior, one of the first things you got to do is acknowledge that you need one. And that there is no other one but Jesus for you. The next thing is, you got to remember and not forget that He's your Savior. Because you can forget that He's your Savior. Have you ever got a prescription or, there's a time when, you get a rash or something, and they give you some cream. And then on the direction it says, apply as needed. And we can apply the Word of God as it's needed in our life. I traveled the world with a guy that was miraculous in so many ways. His whole story was miraculous. I was in the Philippines with him. And he'd preach to the pastors, and his only real message to the pastors were, you don't know the Word of God. And they'd say, well, we know the Word of God. He says, no, you can quote and all that, but you don't know it. You're not applying it. You don't know it intimately. You got to take the Word of God. It's not a head knowledge. It's out of the heart. And you got to believe, and you got to apply the Word of God in everything. And so apply as needed means that you can have that prescription or whatever that is, and you can have it in your hand, you can have it on your shelf, but if you don't need it, you don't apply it. If you don't need a Savior, you don't apply it. You don't apply Him. To qualify for a Savior, you've got to need a Savior. Luke 18:40 says this, and Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he's talking about a blind man, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. There's this paradox here that Jesus was the Savior of this blind man, but part of what Jesus did was say, what do you want? And he's saying that to everybody that you know and yourself and everybody else, what do you want? And if you don't have an answer, there is no application of his Saviorhood. Sometimes we've talked about it so often here, that my family were growing up, somehow, I don't know if it's taught or just assimilated, or if it's just Norwegian genes, I don't know. But we just didn't ask for hardly anything if we were at a neighbor's house or anybody's house. We just kept our mouth shut. And somehow you think that's honorable. And some, I fight this. I fight like, everybody says, you never ask for help. Well, sorry, I don't know why. But here it is, if we don't need a Savior, and how do we express our need? We tell Him that we need Him. And He says to us, Jesus is still saying today, what do you want? And sometimes that's one of the toughest questions for me. Well, I'm not sure what I want. But you got to have a desire. You got to have a sense of need to have a Savior come. You know, if you're a princess and doing well and you don't need a Savior. But if you're locked up into a castle and you have no hope, you need a Savior. And then you got to call upon that Savior. Another kind of a principle in this whole thing, kind of another paradox, is Jesus didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. So Mark 2 says this, "And hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" What a statement Jesus just made here. He said, "I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the unrighteous. I came for this." Man, if you meet somebody and they're really a bad person, sometimes people say, "Well, they need Jesus." Can you tell me somebody that doesn't need Jesus? Can you tell me somebody that doesn't need a Savior, that's got it all together, is going to live for eternity and never die or whatever else? There's nobody. Jesus is the Savior, the Bible says, of all mankind, especially the believers. But He is the Savior. But here it is. Who gets to judge who's healthy and who's sick? I mean, if Jesus didn't come for the healthy, He came for the sick. Who gets to decide that? Which group are you going to be in? Which group is that person in? And the only solution, only idea I can come up with is you get to decide which group you're in. If you think you're healthy, you don't need a Savior. No need to apply that prescription. But if you can recognize that you need a Savior and call upon Him and then believe that He is your Savior. You know, another one of these, I'm just hitting some points that could be preached on for hours, okay, and meditated. So take some time and look this up. I'm only giving you one scripture for each one. But here's another paradox. When you're weak, what did Paul say? When I'm weak, and I wouldn't guess percentage-wise, but over 50% of the people, if I said that to them, well, when I'm weak, they'll almost always say, "He is strong." I've done this just for giggles. And for my own little sermon material making stuff. But I'll say that. I said, yeah, when we're weak, and almost inevitably they'll finish the statement and say, "He is strong." But Paul did not say that. It's one of the most misquoted verses. It goes like this. "Therefore, I'm well content with weakness, with insults and distresses, and with persecutions and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Boy, that's profound. I hope you never forget that. No, you won't, because I told you not to. I was driving a little, did I have a Volkswagen one time? It seemed like I was driving a Volkswagen, I don't know why. But I was over by Whitewood, and I was just fellowshipping with the Lord in the early days of my ministry. And He just said to me, "Where do you think you're weak?" And I said, "Oh, gosh, God, the list is so long. I don't remember names. I don't remember faces. I don't like to confront. I'm very quite shy. I'm going down this list of all my weaknesses." He says, "Well, what's your strengths?" And I named off a couple that I would prefer not to say today. And He goes, "Okay, I'll help you in all those areas except the ones you're strong in." And I mean to tell you, I about pulled the car over and stopped. So I just said, "Sir, I repent. I want to change my mind. I have no strengths. I don't want to boast of my strengths, because when I'm strong, then He doesn't need to be there. I don't need to apply a Savior. When I'm weak, then I apply the Savior and I become strong." Boy, that's huge for so many people. Because somehow it's embedded in our DNA that we need to be proud of something we do. You know, sometimes I have a hard time sometimes even saying to my grandkids or whatever, anybody, "I'm proud of you." I really am, but it's almost like, but boy, dear God, don't put your confidence. Don't have pride in your strength, because it will become your weakness. Because you won't apply your Savior, and then you're absolutely on your own. You got nothing but natural power, natural talent, natural ability, and we are called to live in a supernatural realm. We were called to be more than conquerors. How do you become more than conquerors? You let the Savior save you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go to Psalms 103. And we'll walk this through. Psalms 103 says this, "Bless the Lord." The first song I was talking about praising God. Bless the Lord. Praise Him. Worship Him. Adore Him. How do you bless God? I mean, what kind of gift do you get? God. And yet here it's over and over repeated that we can bless the Lord. Isn't it amazing that we got something that can bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And that's worth thinking about. How can I bless the Lord? I mean, really, you know, as a family, again, you know, one of our joys was to get Dad laughing. And sometimes we did it by being crazy. And that didn't always work so good. But once in a while, we would hit his funny bone and tickle him. And to this day, I can still see him, can't you? Just his little belly jiggling. And he's just, you know, kind of out of, you know, not, Dad never got quite out of control like us. But he would get to giggling. And man, as a son, that just made me feel so good. It was like a goal of ours to get Dad to laugh. Not that he didn't laugh a lot, but for us, that's blessing your daddy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, and all that within me is that deep inner part. It's really talking about your heart. It's talking about your spiritual man inside. It's talking about those deep feelings in you. You know, a lot, you can praise God, and anybody can sing the praise songs verbally, but not live it out. It's when that, well, what's going on? Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Everything. Who's David talking to? I believe he's talking to David. He's talking to himself. This is his self-talk. Okay, John Williamson, get up in the morning. Bless the Lord. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, all my soul. He's talking to his soul. He's talking to his innermost man. You and I have words of power that we can speak into our own heart. And Jesus said, this is how the kingdom works. The word of God comes in your heart, takes root, and grows and produces a harvest. That's what, boy, above everything else in your life, you need to speak to your own heart, speak to your own soul. And if everybody thinks you're crazy, who cares? Everybody else talking to themselves. You know, I thought, well, I won't go there, but it's amazing how many people have these earbuds in now and they're talking to somebody on the phone. I think they're talking to themselves because I can't see the buds. But it's like, man, talk to yourself. David talked to himself and said, come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You got to discipline yourself. It's not punish yourself, it's encourage yourself and give direction. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not His benefits. If it says forget not, it means you can forget. And again, we talk about if you forget, you forfeit. You forget that you have a Savior, you don't apply. And you don't say, this is what I want, Savior. You don't cry out. I mean, so much of our religious teaching is just telling us, be humble, don't say much, don't ask for much. You know, and here, how do you bless the Lord? You ask and then keep on asking. You seek and you keep on seeking. You knock and you keep on knocking. And you just don't ever quit of saying, fill my cup. Fill my cup. I need a Savior. Fill my cup. That's how we bless the Lord. And forget not. And if you don't think you can forget, you just forgot. Man, I am astounded how much I forget. Every time I try to do a project, I was talking to my brother-in-law, Neil, every time I go to hang a door or something, I go, man, I remember I had some secrets on this. Just don't remember what they are. And every time I've got to start on it, isn't that right? I'm a canking and just say, oh, basics. You know, the greatest piano players in the world do their scales every morning, every night for hours. You know, it's, you know, all the football players, they do every basics. And somehow in Christianity, we think, well, I heard it once, I got it. I don't need to do that again. Man, forget not to bless the Lord. Forget not that you have a Savior. Forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. There's a lot of benefits. What do you need for a Savior? We all need different things. You may need a Savior to deliver you from, well, let's go on. Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, forgives, forgets, removes, sends them away from the east to the west. He pardons all your iniquities, all the evil, and all the evil that's been done to you. It's a benefit of having a Savior. He delivers you. My God, every hour, every minute, I need a Savior. My mind wants to bring up every past thing I've ever done. My mind wants to bring up my insecurities. My mind wants to bring up, I mean, it doesn't matter how I can. I've got a friend, he's been encouraging me. He said, John, dear God, you led me, you got me saved, you keep me, feed me. He encourages me, and yet it's like you could not encourage me enough for me to forget my failures. But he says, forget none of his benefits, who pardons and sends away every insecurity, every fear, every screw-up you've ever done. Hallelujah. You know what makes this precious to me is, if I can't quite grasp that myself, I just grasp it harder for others. And I've talked to people who said, how do you forgive yourself? Some of you remember Casey Tim from Vail. Stopped me in one of my sermons. I was talking about forgiveness. He was sitting right about where you're at, Larry. And I'll never forget it. You know, Casey Tim was a rowdy, drunk country boy. He didn't, man, but got saved, had MS, and I'm preaching away good, and he raises his hand. How many people raise their hand in the middle of a hot sermon? And I just stop and go, this is going to be good. I just love it. And he goes, hey, that's good preaching, John. I go, yeah, what do you want? Well, what else, Casey? I had no clue what he's going to say. He said, what if you can't forgive yourself? What a great question. What a great question. And I did. I said, I need a Savior, Jesus. What do I say? And I said, Casey, that's one of the toughest things ever. All of us fight it more than we ever want to admit. Here's what I do sometimes when I'm fighting that. I just say, Jesus, let's put it this way. I won't go to my Jesus, my Savior, and say, Jesus, I really appreciate the fact that you came to earth, put yourself in a human body, which that had been horrible, lived out your life, was tempted in every way, abused in every way, preached this gospel, went to the cross, took all our sins, took all our guilt, took all our shame to the cross, separated yourself from the Father, trusted in the Holy Spirit to raise you. Man, Jesus, my Savior, you did an awesome thing. But it wasn't quite enough to save me. It just wasn't quite enough to forgive me of my sins. I'm a kind of a special case. When I say that to my soul, my soul says, stupid, ignorant, doubt and disbelief. I have a Savior. He has forgiven me of everything I've ever done, ever been done to me, and I will ever do. Forget none of his benefits, pardons all your iniquities, who heals your disease. The word disease actually comes from dies, which means lacking ease. Isn't it amazing? We don't think this way too often, a lot of people, but our Father, our Savior wants us to be at ease. He wants us to feel good. He wants us to feel energized. He wants us to be free from guilt and shame and bondage and doubt and disbelief. He wants us to actually feel great. You know, I thank God he's healing my back. I'm getting better. I'm riding my Indian. I couldn't do that before. I'm not totally there. What do you mean not totally there? I don't want to just be free from that. I want to be energized. I love energy. And he came and he said, I'll heal. It's one of the benefits. You have a Savior that will heal every disease. Who redeemed your life from the pit? There's a lot of pits. My wife, we picked our wild cherry, our sour cherries the other day, and she got a new pitter. She goes, praise God, I don't have to cut every cherry. But man, that pie was full of pits. That new little pitter didn't work very good. You chew lightly, lightly. He redeems your life from the pit of despair. A friend of mine right now, we're believing God for deliverance from depression. He's tried everything, every medication, everything, trying new shockwaves on his head. You know, and I just think, man, don't forget the benefit. He redeems, pulls you out, saves you out of the pit. And I need a Savior every day, every hour. I need a Savior. And after last week's sermon, that's how some of this is coming. I realized, man, I'm forfeiting some of my Savior because I'm doing good enough. Thank you. I'll be all right. Thank you. I forget. You know, man, when you've been in the pit and you come out a little bit, it feels so good. You just think, well, that's close enough to heaven. I'll be fine now. But our Father wants us to not forget any of his benefits, who just doesn't redeem you out of the pit, but puts power inside you to live your life and to have a joy. He's a Savior. Here's what the point is. How much do you qualify for a Savior? And if you disqualify yourself, the Savior has no ability to save. That's what Jody said. It's still our choice. Every day. And we're told not to be selfish. We're told all those things. And once in a while, I want to say, come on, get selfish in the right way. Get proud of your Savior. Go for your Savior. Put a lot of demand on your Savior. You know, when you got something to offer, you know, when you're ready, when you pay the price, when you've equipped yourself, you got your education, you've got your practical service, it's almost like, you know, military people, somebody that has struggled, they go through all the training, but then they never get sent out. That's probably a poor illustration because it's not always a good deal, right? Not the best thing to happen. Let's go to something else. When you've trained to build, to do something to help people, one of the greatest things they can do for you is put a demand on you. Get to use it. Jesus paid such a high price to be a Savior. Do not think for one second that he's wants you to back off asking for a Savior. Don't think for one second that he gets pleased when we don't apply as needed. Man, sometimes when you preach all these years, you just say, man, you've got a Savior, you've got a Savior. And you got to do like David and said, hey, soul, you have a Savior. You need a Savior today. Don't be satisfied with mediocre. Don't be satisfied with barely coming up in the pit. Don't be satisfied with even coming out of the pit. Let him take you into the heavenly of heavenlies and empower you. Let him take you into the throne room and be right beside him. Let him take you up and put you in that place of exaltation where you speak the words and the Father performs it. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. That word crown is really surrounds you. He surrounds us with love. He surrounds us with kindness. He surrounds us with dignity and honor. Who satisfies your years with good things. I'm not sure what this means, but the good things actually means ornaments. But the thought is, he surrounds you with great blessings for the things you desire, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion so that your youth is restored like the eagle. He not only pulls you out of the pit, but he restores you back into the position where you're supposed to be, just a little lower than him, with all authority and all power of the kingdom. He's granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Does America need a Savior? Do people need a Savior? Yeah, but I need a Savior. You need a Savior. And the more you and I tap into our Savior, the better the whole world's going to be. Don't get talked into settling for less. Go for the very best. See if I can pull this song up. My oldest son and I decided we'd come up with a song. That's pretty comical. You got to have a want-to deep within your heart. You got to have a want-to to do your part. You got to have a want-to not to kill. The joy of the Lord for is your strength. His word is truth and his truth remains. His promises are sure. They will set you free. The question is, will you now believe? Father, I thank you for this great day. I thank you for a great Savior. I need you every hour. I need you every minute. And I thank you that one of the benefits is the Holy Spirit comes and reminds me so I don't forget that I have a Savior and he wants to do who he is. Jesus, you're always trying to tell us who you are. You're always trying to show us who you are, who the Father is. You're a Savior. You came to save. You came to deliver. You came to set free. You came to empower. You came to bless. You came for all those reasons. And Father, oh God, I repent. And I say, I'm sorry for not calling on your name. Not applying it as needed. I need thee every hour, every moment, every breath. And I have you. Say this with me. I need a Savior. And I have a Savior. Let's go. That's good. That's good. That's really good. Have a great week. You're going to see some great miracles this week. You're going to see some great salvations in your life this week. Go for it. Don't back off. Fight, fight, fight.